Off the Ball. GAA.
The greatest of all of them, of chaos-based team games, is as soon as you're able to let go of winning, you create conditions to win.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
You're welcome along to the Rugby World Cup show. It was a disappointment yesterday for Ireland in Brighton. New Zealand came out on top on a 40-0 scoreline at the Amex Stadium, which means that Ireland will now face France in this Sunday's quarter-final in Exeter. I'm happy to say we've got a pair of former Ireland internationals with us on the line to break yesterday down. We have Jenny Murphy with us. Evening, Jenny. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad, thanks. Happy to be here.
And happy to say Seni Neopu is with us as well. Seni, how are you?
Oh, hi guys. I'm good. Apologies in advance if it cuts out as well.
It's holding strong so far. Jenny, just a general takeaway from you, first of all. Were you surprised with the golfing class yesterday? Surprised by the magnitude of the defeat?
I thought that it was a fairly comprehensive win in the end. I thought we'd, you know, initial promise at the start and like that good bit of confrontation we got around the park. We got to the right areas, but yeah, like a 40-0 defeat is a tough one, especially in the World Cup stage, and having beaten them so recently as well, it's a slightly different look in terms of the Ireland team and New Zealand they're a different beast when they're in a World Cup. But yeah, I was hoping to get more scores on the board and for it to be a little bit of a closer one in the end, but you know, that's where the cookie crumbles. They're absolutely world class, and at least the girls have another like opportunity to win again and try and get themselves to a semi-final, so it's not all doom and gloom.
And how you deal with the negativity, even if it's not doom and gloom, is a really interesting thing. I presume, Seni, there needs to be an element of amnesia about this Ireland team today and over the next 5 days, and actually getting into the nuts and bolts of why there was a golfing class yesterday is realistically a post-tournament conversation for Scott Beaman himself, because he's got a bigger game this weekend. And I think we have lost Seni. So, Jenny, I'm going to have to throw that one straight to you.
The
post-mortem is all yours here, Jenny.
Great. I think that with something like that, you can't really afford to mull on it too long. It's kind of like, yeah, it is a defeat. It is a big one. That's just the way it is. But you try and find the positives in it. Now, there wasn't a huge amount. We came away with some injuries. There was a bit of a gulf there, all right. But you do kind of want to push things aside and start focusing on other things. So be it like get back in the team room and focus on the things that you need to adjust. Like there was inefficiency in our 22 that we do need to fix. And there's small little things, especially at the start of the game, where like I think for the Black Ferns, when you have the opportunity to put them under pressure and get a few points on the board, they do play differently against you. They are then chasing some points. And unfortunately, like we didn't get that. We didn't capitalize on the opportunities like they did. Big physical battle. So I think it's regroup, spend some time with your close mates within the camp as well. Meet with your families, grab your coffees, and then just focus primarily on France. Like I think Ireland, we have a good draw. And we are capable of beating what is a very strong French team, but I don't think this French team is as good as the Black Ferns. And they're a team on the decline. And I think Ireland are a team, albeit like not at the weekend, but we're on a team on the up. We're a young team. We're really inexperienced when it comes to a World Cup. And that also plays a big part in it as well. So I'd imagine like some of the more senior players are just kind of like, job done now, move on. And a lot of the time with players that are younger or have that bit of inexperience, they can bounce back a lot quicker, and it doesn't kind of, their wounds aren't hopefully too deep, but they can just kind of move on. They're in a World Cup. like bigger fish to fry. You'd rather win at the weekend in Exeter than Brighton. That was a long answer, but no, there you go.
And loads in that I do want to come back to. I think Sene is back there on the line. Just on that theme of, you know, the mental approach to this week. I think Jenny makes a really good point there at the end. There is still a freshness about this team, it feels, on the outside looking in. They can use that to their advantage over the next 5 days to just try and put all of this stuff aside from yesterday. And look, we will get into what went wrong yesterday, but that is going to be the message in the camp, right, over the next couple of days.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Sorry.
Oh, cool. Hey, James, thanks for having me on my back as usual. Hey, firstly, Owen, I'll just jump in and say how incredible it was to see so many green jerseys in that crowd. There were over 30,000 people there, and it was such a privilege to be pitch side right there and seeing so many incredible supporters come over, those in the UK, some from Ireland. It was phenomenal. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. That in itself was incredible, to just soak that in, family festival vibes. And while the result wasn't what we would have wanted as Irish fans, the occasion itself was something that was quite remarkable. But yeah, no, to your point, obviously looking ahead to France, while sort of reviewing the performance of against Black Ferns, firstly, New Zealand are world champions for a reason. Six times world champions for a reason. They were absolutely ruthless. And in all honesty, that 40-0 scoreline doesn't really reflect Ireland's grit as well at the same time. Echo Jenny's points around them starting, having, you know, bright sparks at the start, a couple of chances to score early on. I had a coffee with, called up with Stacey and Ruby this morning, and I was having her on. I was like, oh, would you have taken the 3 points looking back? And she backed the decision that they'd made. So that was good. Like, as in, they made the decision, went for that sort of set piece and those sorts of things. But yeah, to your point in terms of looking ahead to a team like France, if that's the question I heard you say, so again, apologise, anyone listening to this answer over the place, it's because my Wi-Fi isn't reliable, but looking ahead to France, different game plan, but same intensity around the need to match France's defence. I'm probably the opposite of Jen's in that I think France are flying it. I think they've got a black line that'll cut you open in seconds, and they've got a pack that'll try and bully you for 80 minutes. So as long as Ireland stay disciplined and, you know, don't give easy territory to France to kick in the corner, because if they're in there, it's quite hard to stop them more. You know, those sorts of things. It's just around a couple of fixes and defence from an Irish perspective, and then being a bit more tactical in attack.
The ruthlessness from New Zealand yesterday was apparent to anyone. I mean, running a try from your own 22 when the clock is in the red and the win is already banked underlines that as much as any of the other moments. But also the big time nature that New Zealand managed to bring to this World Cup is incredible, really. We were speaking to Anna Capeless at the start of the tournament, and she described New Zealand as werewolves. When the World Cup comes along, the best version of the Black Ferns tends to come out. And we saw that yesterday. Fascinating comparing the team sheets yesterday to WXV last year. You've got 14 Ireland players in the 23 yesterday who were in the 23 last year for the WXV game, and then 12 Black Ferns comparing year to year. So a good few changes for different reasons. I mean, you're having coffee with somebody who missed out on the squad this year for New Zealand. Obviously, Ireland have suffered from injuries. But it's fascinating, Sene, to consider the mental change that New Zealand have brought from year to year, and that Ireland perhaps aren't at the level of being able to turn themselves on for right now.
I think Sene might have jumped off there, Emma, but on that part, I think it's you've got like you're competing with the sevens tournament as well. So you got a lot of the like world class sevens players wanting to get a 15s jersey, wanting to compete in the Rugby World Cup, which is one. And then you have the support that they get from the union too. It rockets up a little bit in World Cup year. Like I was over for the final in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and the year before they got absolutely pummeled when they went on tour, and it was a big massive wake up call. Home World Cup, they couldn't, that was not acceptable, and they had like World Cup, like Wayne Smith was brought in, a lot of the team was changed around, they fundamentally changed how they kind of approached this World Cup, and it culminated in them maybe a little bit of an upset winning the World Cup versus a very strong English team. And it's also the mindset of the women as well. Like, this is the pinnacle. They don't get, you know, the Six Nations in terms of the rugby championship. They don't get to wear the Black Ferns jersey as much as now, like Irish players get to play in other competitions. So it's less opportunity to play. So they want to make the most of it. And yeah, they very much do. And they look like really, really seamless. The amount of pressure that was put on Ireland on both sides of the ball was extremely impressive. And we just didn't know how to live with it, firstly. And then we also didn't make those adjustments in play as well. Like, a lot of the time you go in at halftime and your coaches will be able to kind of see something that maybe you can't on the park. And also equally, you can kind of pick up stuff that you're kind of getting in terms of the feel of the game that you need to be passing on as well. But we didn't make adjustments in game. Like, they were absolutely flying up and putting huge line speed on us. And we struggled with that. And if we're struggling with that, we need to just give ourselves more depth or attack from different areas. And that's easier said than done. Like, we can't be kicking listlessly to New Zealand because they will absolutely destroy it. They've got danger women across the park. But we were probably a little bit naive at times, and they punished us like every opportunity. And they had some handling errors. There was some maybe bouts of poor play on their side too. So there is headroom for them to grow into this competition even further. But also even how they approach this game, there was a lot of frustration in camp and from kind of hearing from like reading reports that they let tries in versus, you know, weaker opposition, Japan and Spain. And this was like, Ireland was the big game of this group. And I think like that zero was an absolute marker for the teams that they're going to face down the line. I think they're going to grow and get better, which sets itself up. It's going to be a great quarterfinal and hopefully a cracking semi-final as well.
Yeah, like, is that something, Jenny, that you thought might have been a weakness in Ireland's attack? That if you do get up and get a high line speed against Ireland, they maybe are a little bit too shallow and they can be got at? Because by the same token, even after the Japan game, we were having a conversation with Fiona Hayes about how Ireland are very vulnerable in defence out wide, and a better team than Japan would have punished them on week one. So just with the ball in terms of line speed and without the ball, just in terms of how narrow they can be, that does seem to be a common theme for how teams can get at Ireland.
Yeah, like we don't lack any like amount of desire to get off the ball. We are dogged in defence, but you also need to be quite smart and really efficient. Like, there were times and there was two or three players trying to pull players down as opposed to, you know, trying to, you know, dominate those tackles. Again, that's easier said than done. There are some like very powerful women in both the forward pack for New Zealand and in the back line. We were a little bit static and predictable, I think, is one of the is kind of makes it easier for teams to then put that line speed on you and make those big hits. And New Zealand, they looked threatening across the park. Now, like, consistently they've done that anyway, but maybe Ireland not so much. Like, in our 22, even when we had possession, we needed to relieve pressure and pump the ball down the park, which is the right thing to do. But I think New Zealand, at times when we were, they created fractures in the defence and then use that to attack. And again, that's like a huge amount of skill too, but it's something where we kind of lacked, and that's an area where, like, that's a skill thing. That's something that the coaches are going to have to look at. You know, there's only minimal amount of time. We're not going to be able to, like, change things. But, like, for the future and looking ahead, Ireland or not, we're not, and we'll never be a really physical team. We're not going to be, and historically have never been big. So we need to play to our other strengths. Like, we can be ultra fit. We can work extremely hard. Everyone has, like, a decent, like, boot or some extent of a boot. Like, can we utilize that? But yeah, you can just kind of harp back to how good New Zealand were. Yeah. But I do think Ireland can do a job against France, and, like, that will hurt them. But I think sometimes that kind of hurt can really pull what already looks like a really tight team together even further in that little World Cup bubble.
Yeah, that's a really interesting breakdown of the differences between where New Zealand are at and where Ireland are at. And, like, is it essentially that New Zealand thrive in broken play and Ireland are trying to keep it as structured as possible, and that when you talk about Ireland coming out of their own 22 yesterday, instead of kicking the ball, because that'll just favour how brilliant their back three are in terms of broken play, it is actually ironically trying to play out from your own 22 a little bit more?
Yeah, like, I think you can look at other teams and how they play, and there can be a little bit of envy, but you got to play to your strengths as well. And I think at the moment, like, you know, I wouldn't have been a part of a team that would be capable of maybe doing that. And it's not quite there for us yet. I also think that, like, the amount of games that New Zealand players play means that they're really comfortable with ball in hand. Like, some of the girls that, when they're not playing on the Sevens World Series, they are playing in club, they're getting match minutes behind them. And a lot of the Irish players, if you're not playing in the Premiership or otherwise, they get pulled for camps and they're in, like, this high performance unit for long periods of time, which is great. Like, you're getting top class coaching, you're getting really good S&C, you're getting looked after. But at the same time, how you get smarter is by playing games and making those mistakes and having maybe a little bit more time to make those mistakes. Like, you don't want to learn in a Six Nations or in a World Cup. You need to kind of hone your skills in your club game as well, where it's not as, there's not as much physical domination. You have a second longer on the ball. Like, things start to speed up with every level that you go up. You have less time. You're playing against world-class players, and when they hit you, you bloody feel it.
Selly, can I jump in, though, on the back of Jeannie's points? It was really interesting. At the start of the game, they're asking who were some of the key threats in New Zealand. 100%, it was always the centres. Like, that forward pack is obviously incredibly dominant, physical, where they win collisions both sides of the ball. But when you've got a Stacey Waka and a Sylvia Brunt, together there's 5 World Cups between those two. Any centres out there in Ireland, any outside centres, you want to watch Stacey Waka and how she gets on the outside edge and sets up her back three. And then also, obviously, Georgia Miller, who plays like a third centre in the back, so it's incredibly hard to defend. But when you're that alone as a unit, let alone all across the park in the black jerseys, that's the type of experience Ireland's playing against. And Ireland's players are absolutely wonderful. I mean, look at Eve Higgins, Aoife Dalton, you know, themselves against that level. Like, that's, New Zealand's a tournament team. That tournament team, by, you know, World Cups, they can win a tournament. It almost, you know, doesn't, not that the WXV last year was insignificant, because that was incredibly important and incredibly huge for Ireland. But this is World Cup level. This is what they're playing against. And so I think there's no better test than before playing France for a quarterfinal, and a game that they genuinely will be able to take, if obviously they've just got to match that line speed on defence and a number of other areas of the game to genuinely compete this Sunday. And the other thing as well, again on the back of Jen's, is how far we've come as well, or how far Ireland's come in terms of its set piece. I mean, that first game, I think they had 100% scrums, 86% lineouts execution. The second game, 100% set piece. It was only really last weekend against the Black Ferns that they were able to disrupt Ireland's set piece. So, you know, those sorts of things, they haven't had that challenge in this competition so far. So to get all the kind of genuine adversities before the quarterfinals is really important for Ireland, because there's still a chance.
There is certainly still a chance. It might seem quite remote after yesterday. The first thing you spoke about, Sene, is how brilliant the occasion was yesterday. Like, party atmosphere, massive Irish support. And you rightly point out that, you know, this is the World Cup. This is not WXV. This is the World Cup. Did you get a sense that maybe Ireland didn't handle that massive sense of occasion yesterday as well as they possibly could?
I guess. I think there's...
Yeah, just having real problems with Sene's line there. Unfortunately, Jenny, all the questions are going to be.
I can't do a key accent. I was going to. Oh. And I was like, absolutely.
Oh,
not.
Sorry, guys. I'm back on. And Jen has a great Kiwi accent, by the way.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I'm so sorry to any listeners that this is sort of in and out. My apologies. Owen, can you repeat the question before it went out?
It was handling the occasion yesterday. Do you think Ireland perhaps didn't handle it as well as they possibly could have, given how brilliant an occasion it was for the fans and how important yesterday was compared to 12 months ago against the Black Ferns?
Ireland were always ever up against it. The moment they beat New Zealand last year, this was always going to be the game that the Black Ferns would have targeted, given how hurt that was. So there's two sides of it. There's one side in that the Black Ferns were targeting that game. Like, the mana of the Black Ferns went up another level at the weekend to prove a point. On the other hand, while it's a really strong Irish team, absolutely, they're wonderful players, there's probably a good few key players missing. So there's that balance of that. There's the reality that, you know, if Dana O'Brien's out, if Stacey Flood's out, Enya Breen wasn't on the bench at that stage, there's all those sorts of factors that add to it. And then the ability to adapt on the go, like, Black Ferns were always ever going to go after Dana. Her kicking stats have been of the best this World Cup. First game, I think she had 273 kicking metres, the most of any other player. The next player was a Canadian who had 100 and something kicking metres. So she's incredibly important to Ireland. So it was quite simple from a game plan perspective defensively that they were always going to go after her. So it's just more around, you know, how can you tactically get around that? Like, where do you position your players so that she's available, and or what are the other contingencies and things like that? So I think it was that next level of thinking and execution, and it's also the third game as well. So to answer your question, I think the Black Ferns were always ever going to be as strong as they can be. And again, like, that is World Cup footy. I don't think any other team, it could have been any other team, even in, you know, to be able to execute under the pressure that Black Ferns were putting against Ireland. You know, it's pretty hard to execute. But again, I mean, you know, France is another opportunity now to be better. I'm really looking forward to seeing how I'm going.
I think as well, like, when you're in a World Cup, you kind of, when you're looking back on it, like, you want to relish it and enjoy it. Like, not many people get to experience and do it. So, and the girls started off well, but like, also you got every right to soak up that atmosphere and kind of have a look around for a bit before getting back to the task at hand. It's something really special. So, like, I know definitely for sure there was games in World Cups otherwise where I was just like, I made sure to make sure that I was enjoying the moment. Maybe not like sing along to the other anthem, even though it was like an absolute banger, but like, just yeah, soak it up and then get back to your job at hand as well and be able to switch on, which the girls are well able to do.
Yeah, I guess my theory is just that Ireland aren't necessarily 40 points, certainly 40 points a nil worse than the Black Ferns. Like, Black Ferns are certainly amazing. They could go on to win this, and with the players Ireland are missing, maybe you can make a case there is a, you know, a 20 to 30 point gap between them. But it did feel, Jenny, that there were moments where Ireland underachieved yesterday. And like the first Aaron McGee try is amazing, but it's also a bit shambolic from Ireland in defence. Like there's a moment even in the second half when Eve Higgins is going down the left and I don't know, she's so close to the touchline, maybe she has to cut back in, but it feels like where's the support for her in that moment as she's making a brilliant break down the left. So they're the kind of things that just stick in my mind after yesterday.
Yeah, there was times where like they broke through and it was a bit too early, or we had like, you had one or two drag tackles, and because it sucked in two or three players outside more to have to come in and help, you're just leaving your outside a lot more vulnerable, and you can't really afford to do that. And then as well, we kind of probably didn't use the touchline to help us with defence as much. Now again, when you've got like absolute steppers like Sorensen McGee on the ball too, like there's only so much a touchline is going to help you with. But yeah, there is that bit of kind of naivety, and also like fatigue too. Like Sene mentioned those, the two centers as well, but like there are some like powerful ball carriers, not just in the pack but in the back line as well. That's a huge energy suck, and we probably need to play the grey areas a little bit more. So if you're going into that tackle, if you're going into the tackle as that second or sometimes even third helper, you kind of need to play in that grey area and try and slow it down and buy your teammates a little bit of time. And we didn't. We were quite clean and quite nice. You can't really afford to do that. And they're also able to swing the ball. Like New Zealand, they can swing, and they did in that, like, I think second last, third last try. They were moving it from one wing to the other and doing so really comfortably with minimal phases. And Ireland were probably, we wouldn't be as efficient with the ball currently. It's a kind of a tricky one. But again, you've got a huge amount of experience on that Black Ferns team that they're really comfortable. That centre partnership has played well together before. They both complement each other really well too. Like you said, you've got that third centre in Miller as well that just does huge amount of the grunt work too, to kind of save that centre partnership up for moving around on both sides of the park. I think Ireland, there's a few things that they can maybe look to do in the future. Like Dan has got a lovely boot and give her a little bit of freedom to kind of play in that mid zone, like a few dinks around the back. Now again, it's not there's opportunities there, but we just need to kind of see it and then be really confident in being able to do it and ensuring that everyone is on the same page. You can't be making these kicks, like some of the kicks that we kind of had at the weekend where they kind of didn't really do a job. You're kicking for either points, pressure, or like position, and oftentimes is a bit wayward. So a few of those things need to be tidied up. Or again, like I rate this Black Ferns team over France, but I still think France are, yeah, they beat us in the Six Nations. They've got danger women everywhere. It's not going to be an easy task, but I'd love to see us rise to the occasion. And I think there's plenty of bite in this Irish team that they're capable of doing that.
Yeah, it's not exactly a hot take to suggest that your confidence would be dented by yesterday in relation to France. But look, you do look at the reason why I would have been confident about the France game before the tournament is that you look at the trend in the last couple of years. I realise they haven't beaten them since 2017, and that was the only time Ireland had beaten them since the Grand Slam. But it was a 12 point this year at Ravenhill defeat. It was 21 points in Le Mans last year and 50 points in Cork the previous year. So the trend with France had been hugely encouraging. But maybe yesterday is just the first evidence that actually there's been a couple of steps backwards for various reasons. And I accept that plenty of them are out of their control, particularly the injuries, that maybe it's just one step back too much to be able to beat France. But who knows? Maybe Aoife Wafer's been kept in cold storage and she's going to come back to her very, very best next week and she has an all-time game.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a player as well. Like, you know, being able to, like, you know, I do feel for Aoife because there's so much attention on her, and rightly so. She's world-class and she's proven that. But you want to make sure that she's, you know, good to go for the game and she's looked after as well, because she is very much capable of sparking something and also breaking down like a lot of like those lovely set piece plays that France are have grown into. But yeah, like this is like, listen, I'm still confident that Ireland can do a job, but like I'm not naive enough to assume that this isn't going to be very, very tough and France are going into it as favourites. I think a lot of it is like I'm going to go to the Exeter game as well and I want to be doing it in as positive mindset as possible, but it is going to be hard, and it's kind of like how the girls react. Do they lick their wounds, and is there a kind of a level of disappointment and maybe fear after the New Zealand game, or is it a kind of a, again, that tightness and like, no, let's pull together, and that bit of grit after suffering a tough defeat. And I'm hoping that it's going to be the latter.
Sene, New Zealand sent out a message to Ireland yesterday, but it kind of feels like the biggest message they sent out was to England. Some of the preview stuff was, look, right off New Zealand at your peril, but it feels like England are on paper clearly the best team in this competition. It feels now yesterday this is very much a two-horse race.
Yeah, probably. I mean, as in yesterday's game, the Black Ferns showed us and told the world that they're back. Like, they have seen it at the moment. And even that team, you know, there's a variation to its start compared to some other games where other players weren't on the start. But
we just appear to have lost Sene one last time. What was she going to say, Jenny?
Sometimes I think it's a dramatic pause and I'm waiting for something really big. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's just shoddy reception. No, I think that like England have been talking about the World Cup since the last World Cup, and they've kind of nearly used the Six Nations as a training ground. So they've been fully focused on this and have been relentless in Twickenham final. And the Black Ferns have been like a little bit shakier in the lead up, and that was, I think the Red Roses camp will be looking at that being like, okay, right, this isn't going to be, not that they would ever have said it's going to be easy in the first place, but I think where I would have probably put before this tournament as England as stark favourites and would have put money on it, them getting their mitts on the trophy. And now I'm like, okay, I think they're still favourites going into it. Home World Cup, the amount of fans behind them will play a part. But I think the Black Ferns can put it up to them. And there is still headroom for the Black Ferns as well. There's a few different things. Like England, the way they're rotating the squad in the group stages is really impressive. They have a huge amount of depth. Their set piece, particularly at scrum, is looking sublime. And that's something that the Black Ferns are going to have to look at, because there was a few scrum penalties against Ireland. But it's shaping up to be somewhat more competitive than I thought at the start of this tournament.
Jenny, brilliant stuff this evening. Thanks a million for breaking all that down for us. Sene, if you're still there, thank you so much. Great to chat to you. We'll catch up on a better line soon, I'm sure.
I'm back. Thank you, guys. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.